One of the most sort of famous stories within the forest tradition is how when Ajahn Mahabur was a young bhikkhu and had just gone to study with Venerable Ajahn Mun, the style of practice in those days was the Ajahn was always sort of moving around, staying in different places, and his students would go and stay with him and camp out in one particular forest for a particular time and then go off to other places and practice by themselves and then come back and hopefully find the Ajahn again and check in with their practice and then go off and seek another lonely place to meditate. So the young Ajahn Mahabur had come to practice and study with Venerable Ajahn Mun and had received instruction in meditation, had gone off to practice by himself, and had quite quickly, it seems, developed extremely profound, blissful states of concentration. And this came up in discussion about the wholesomeness of these profound states of absorption. And he was kind of pleased with himself, like, wow, I was a study monk, and you know, I've just taken up the forest monk life, and yeah, my meditation is going really well. So he went back to check in with Venerable Ajahn Mun, and he was describing these very profound states of absorption and blissfulness and clarity and brightness and so on. And according to the story, Ajahn Mun said, well, don't bother with any of that. You know, it's all very well, but what's most helpful is if you reduce the level of concentration, bring it to the level of access concentration where you can watch the arising and passing of the five khandhas, that'll be much more beneficial for you. And apparently, according to the stories, and I'm happy to be corrected if I've got this wrong, the young Ajahn Mahabur said, you're wrong, Ajahn. These are so blissful, these are so beautiful, they're so wholesome, there can't be any disadvantage in developing these states. And apparently, the dialogue between them got quite loud. It was heard around the monastery. And it ended with the young Ajahn Mahabur disagreeing with his teacher and going off and saying, well, I think you're wrong, Ajahn, so I'm going to go off and do this by myself. So then, having gone off and having disagreed with his teacher, having then tried to sit down and get into those states again, he couldn't. Kind of big surprise, having argued with the great master, you know. Your enlightened teacher, and you're finding fault with him as a young, arrogant bhikkhu. Anyway, so he couldn't get into those states again. And he tried really, really, really hard, but he couldn't get into that kind of absorption again. And he said, again, this is the quote I heard, was that he said, if anyone other than Ajahn Mun had been responsible for depriving me of those states, I would have killed them. So there you've got extremely wholesome, bright, beautiful states becoming a basis for homicidal urges. So as a kind of a classic Ajahn Mahabur story. I think eventually he sort of dragged himself back to Ajahn Mun and said, sorry, I'm an arrogant and proud monk, so please, can you teach me that again?
It's funny, Ajahn, because Michi Keo, she had quite a fight with Ajahn Mahabur about having her meditation more connected with, you know, beings. And she was absolutely, you probably read it, she insisted that was a way, the right way. And he threw her out. And she actually realized that she made a mistake, actually.
So interesting how things trickle down through the ages in a similar way.